a human being and as a mu'min. Here Imam is saying that whenever the aql of a person grows, aql is intelligence, whenever a person's aql grows, meaning that when you become more intelligent, when you become more aql, and your intelligence goes up, the more it goes up, the more a person starts believing and having conviction in the muqaddarat of Allah, in the things that Allah decides. The more you become intelligent, the more you will see that you will give importance to the things Allah decides. And he goes on and says that the things that you do to change, the things that you decide, will become irrelevant for you. In your life, what a person who's intelligent will see that people who are not intelligent, people who feign to be intelligent. You know, there are certain people, you know, and we make a mistake of this, right? A lot of times we think that people who are intelligent are dumb, and the people who are actually dumb are intelligent, right? And in the society that we live in, those who play intelligence and those who bring themselves out as intelligence, they're not intelligent. They're what we call pseudo-intellectuals. They're not intelligent. They act as if they're intelligent, you know? They just do an acting. They're not intelligent, otherwise they would have made intelligent decisions, right? But they don't. When you look at these people, you will see that those who are pseudo-intellectuals, those who think that they're intelligent, they give importance and they emphasize on the things that they do. Little things, I will mention that so that you understand how people think. Imam Ali is saying that when you become intelligent, you don't emphasize what you do, you emphasize what Allah does. You see, when you become more intelligent, then you start looking at Allah's actions rather than your actions, because you will understand that your actions are irrelevant. Your actions are insignificant. It's Allah's actions that actually count. So I better start paying attention to His actions and His doings and His decisions, because that is what's actually affecting things, not what I do. I and my decisions are irrelevant. Otherwise, if I want to do anything, then I would have done whatever I wanted in my life. But it never happened that way. Intelligent people are like that. That's why, for example, when you meet someone who's a pseudo-intellectual, he will first emphasize what he has done before he says anything. Why? Because to him, his doing and his deeds and his actions and his decisions and his work is what's more important. That's why you see whenever they give you a visiting card, you see the initials of what they have achieved is longer than their names. Right? It will be Mr. Khan or Mr. David plus, you know, PhD, so-and-so, the initials will be longer than his name. Why? Because the emphasis, this is what I am. When you ask them to speak first, they'll start off saying that, well, this is what I have achieved, this is what I've done, this is the books I've written, all these things, and they will bake your mind for about 15 minutes before they say anything useful. Right? This is the sign of a person who's not intelligent, because he thinks that his actions actually make a difference. His deeds actually make a difference. And you see, this is usually what happens in scholarly circles. Scholarly circles have become so pseudo-intellectual, they have become so redundant, they have become so cheap, that now they don't bring about any new ideas. What they do is that they do research of ideas that people have on the ground. You know, for example, you will have a person who is actually a real person on the ground make an effect change. Let's say, for example, Martin Luther King. He effected change. He's on the ground making a change in society. So now the pseudo-intellectual will come and say, we have done and written a book on him. So they write books about people who actually do the work. The people who are doing the work, who affect change, they don't get into these type of things. They are real people living real lives, not in a bubble like these people and scholars are living in their universities. This is usually what happens with these people. So now what happens that Imam Ali is saying that, listen, an intelligent person, when his intelligence grows, then he doesn't give importance to what he has done or the things that he decides on. He gives importance to things that Allah has decided on, meaning the muqaddarat of Allah, the taqdeer, the decisions Allah has made in your life and in the life of society. One more salawat. As an example in history to see how this emphasis is given, an interesting example is when Imam Ali alayhi salam. On his way back from Siffin, at a stop, started to pour out his frustration that he had with his people. You know, his people who abandoned him, who did not listen to him, who took bribes from Muawiyah and ran away, the weakness of their faith and loyalty. Imam Ali started to pour out his frustration to Malik Ashtar, and he was saying that, Malik, you see our people, you see what they're doing, you see this and you see that. So he was saying these things, and Malik, trying to console and to comfort Imam Ali, he was a friend of Imam Ali. So in order to comfort Imam Ali, Malik said to him that, Mawla, you know, our people have gone to two hard battles and wars, you know, Battle of Jamal, Battle of Siffin, and our people are war weary, they're tired. Maybe if you increase the wages and the salary of our soldiers, maybe they'll get more interested. I mean, that's how Muawiyah is getting to them. He pays them well. He lavishes gifts on them. So why don't you also, as an advice, you know, it's up to you what you want to do. Malik is just giving advice. Says, why don't you raise their income and give them something more so that they can be interested, so they don't run away, so that they can have a reason, an incentive to be loyal. I mean, this is his view, and he's trying to give it to Imam Ali. Imam Ali says very clearly, he says, Malik, as far as giving them more than what they deserve, I cannot do that. That I can't do. Meaning that this is their fair share they're getting. And what is fair, I'll give them what they deserve, and that's what they're getting. If they want something more than their fair share, if they want something more than what they deserve, then that's not happening. Because Baytul Mal, meaning the treasury of the people, when you spend from it, it has to be spent justly. And people need to give, you know, and get what they deserve. They can't get more than what they deserve. That's what Muawiyah used to do. He used to treat his friends really well, and he would lavish them gifts, and that's the one of the incentives, the reason why people stuck with Muawiyah, because they got rich off of him. They had power, they had influence, and they got many other things also. And Malik is trying to say the same thing to Imam Ali: raise what they are getting so that they can stay with you. Probably they won't run away because they're tired. They have lost a lot of time and income, they left their lives, they left their wives and children, now they're here. Increase what they're getting. Imam said, no, I can't do that. But here's the interesting part. This is what I want you to understand. Imam Ali after that says that, listen, Malik, I can't do that. Now, the real fact is that if Allah wants, then we will win this battle and this war. And if Allah does not want, then we will lose this battle and war. You see, Malik,
His focus is on what I can do to change the situation, what we can do to change the situation, because that's how people think. What can I do to change my situation? They don't understand it's not up to you to change the situation. Imam Ali is trying to refocus his attention and saying, no, it's not we who changes the situation or decides what's going to happen. It's Allah who decides what's going to happen. If He wants, we will win, and if He does not want, then we will lose. See, focusing on what Allah decides, not on what we can do. This is the emphasis. Because things that Allah decides is what you are going to get. What's going to happen to you. And these are called muqaddarat. This is what we call taqdeer. Taqdeer is what Allah decided for you. Now, two things I will say today so that you understand something, and from there inshallah we will go forward with this discussion. First thing, my friends, first point is that there are muqaddarat that we have all around us. Things that Allah decided for us. And because these muqaddarat are so commonplace, because it dictates our life, every day of our life, because they happen so often and so frequent, that we think of these things as accidents. Or coincidence. We look at them as accident, something that's happening. It's normal. It's something that is commonplace. Our heart is beating. Our heart is beating. Are we dictating it? Are we telling it to beat? No. Who's making it beat? It just goes on, right? So to us, it's just normal. This is just a normal thing. The things Allah has decided for you and that control your life are so commonplace in your life that we tend to ignore them. We don't focus on them. We don't look at them. We don't see them. Because they're happening every day. We think of them as coincidences. For example, I get into an accident. I'd say that's an accident. But it's not an accident. There's something that is designed. We don't look at it that way. You think it's an accident. Oh, I had an accident on the way. It's something that we think is random. There's nothing random, my friends. There's no coincidence in life. Everything is being designed. There's a grand design behind everything. Allah, He gives a glimpse of it in the Quran. He gives a glimpse of what is happening that you don't see behind the curtains, but it's happening to you. Allah gives a glimpse of that. If you remember the story of Qidr in the Quran, you know, if you remember that story, in that story, for example, where Musa and Qidr go through certain situations, and Qidr, he goes and makes a hole in the boat, right? Now, to the fishermen whose boat it was, when they came home, they saw that the boat has a hole in it. To them, what is it? It's an accident. To them, it's an accident. They're looking at, oh, the boat, you know, there's a hole in the boat. You know, we can't use it. It's an accident, right? They're not viewing it, oh, someone came and made a hole here. They're not looking at it that way. They're looking at it as an accident. Oh, look, this is what happened. And then they go forward and he kills a boy. Right? He kills a boy. And, you know, obviously, I mean, what Musa and he are going through is different. I'm talking from a perspective of the parents now. Now the parents, when they find the child dead, they're looking, oh, a freak accident, the child died. A freak accident and the child died. And they mourned, they cried. You see, they don't understand the design that's happening behind the scene. Allah is giving a glimpse of how things are working. How He is dictating your life. How He is changing everything around. This is what happens in life. Allah brings it about. And He changes life. And this is a glimpse that we see in the Quran that Allah is giving to us that, listen, this is what's happening. And if you see this happening in your life, just know that it's not an accident or a coincidence that's happening with you. This is a design by Allah, and Allah is putting it together. So everything that you go through in life that you might think is an accident, if you leave it as an accident, if you treat it as an accident, then you will never learn from it. You will never gain insight from it. Your iman never grows after that. Because you think it's an accident or a coincidence that's happening. Imam Ali Radha alayhi salatu wa salam. He said that whenever Allah wants to do something to someone, when Allah wants to do something to you to change your life, Imam says that He freezes your mind. He freezes your mind, does what He wants with you, then unfreezes it. Your mind is frozen. Allah does what He wants, makes His changes, and then unfreezes it. And then when it's unfreezed, Imam says, then the person is wondering, hey, what happened? How did I become like this? How did I become like this? Imagine this. This is how Allah works. When He wants to do something to you, when He wants to do something to you, He just freezes your mind. You know, like everything frozen. You know, when you say freeze, you freeze. Then He goes and does what He wants. Takes some hair out, this and that, makes you bald. And then when it unfreezes, then you look in the mirror and says, how did I lose all this hair? That's what He does. Right? This is how it happens. Now, you would be surprised when I'm saying this to you, says, what is Maulana talking about? You know? What is he talking about? I mean, it is true, and I'm going to give you your own example. Wow. Friends, your own example I'm going to give you. And then you see what I'm saying. And apply it to your own life. Yes. You know, for all ages here, and now obviously those who are young, you know, you will experience it when you grow older. But for all those who are older, and for all those who are adults, you will attest to what I'm saying. An example that you can understand how Allah has controlled your life. How He has dictated your life, and you do not even know how it happened. Send us salawats. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. You can move forward, brothers.
And go to the right place, brothers. The sisters can come in, please. Go to the right place. Thank you. Sallu ala Muhammad, ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
My friends, tell me. All of you adults out there, tell me, when you were children, what did you dream of being? What did you dream of being when you were a child? When someone asked you as a child, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, people say, hey, I want to be a superstar, I want to be famous, I want to be rich. I want to be, I don't know, you had some images in your mind, right? Look back really at the things that you thought that you wanted to be and decided to be. Look at those things that you thought that, you know what, I want to be this. I'll ask the children also, tell me, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? Someone say, I want to be an NBA superstar, you know? Okay, I want to play for the Lakers, all right. Good luck. But you grow up with these dreams. Yeah. You grew up with these dreams. You wanted to be something. You decided to be something. And I want to ask all those adults out there, did you become that?
No.
All right, I'll come to you later, right? Let's go over you later, right? Maybe in private. Really, the fact is this, my friends. If you had a great dream, you wanted to be great, it's a good thing. You had it. Alhamdulillah, you had a great dream. And even you kids out there, really, dream big. It's good to dream big. Don't dream so small that you will achieve it in this life. Because those who achieve their dreams in this life, it means that their dreams were small also. That their goals were small also. Dream big. You want to be great? Fine. You want to be the wealthiest person? Fine. All of these dreams. But you, when you became an adult, you see that you haven't achieved them. You didn't become Superman. You didn't become Superman. You didn't become that. Really. Did you, now, the question is, in your young age, when you were young and dreaming what you want to be and deciding what you want to be, you decided that. Tell me, did you ever decide that when you will become an adult, that you would prefer to be in the majlis of Imam Hussain rather than being anywhere else? As an adult, you thought that, you know what, when I become an adult, I would rather want to be in the majlis of Imam Hussain than any place else on a Friday evening. Did you ever thought of that when you were a youngster? Now, my friends, tell me, who made you like this? You didn't want it. You didn't decide it. Who made you like this? Who controlled your life and dictated your life so that one day that you will prefer Imam Hussain over everything else? Maybe this realization can make us appreciate and thank Allah for not responding and answering to our du'as when we made as children. Maybe we should say, thank you Allah for not listening to me. Thank you for not listening to what I wanted to do. Maybe if you had listened to me, I don't know where I would be. Friends, someone is dictating your life. You did not become what you want to be. You were changed. Now when you look at it, how did I end up here? How did I become this? Who may not? I never grew up saying that, you know what? This is what I want to do in my life. Really, my friends? This is how Allah dictates. Dictates lives. Makes us change. And when Allah does it, He does it for the better. Subhanallah. How does He make people who cry for Imam Hussain? This is how He does it, the way He has done with you. The same way He has done with you. When He says that, you know, you heard the hadith so many times. When Imam Hussain was born, and the hadith that says that Allah will make a nation that will grow up to cry for Imam Hussain. Well, how does He make it? He dictates their lives. You know, makes them go through things that they will make those decisions that will make them end up in this situation. And you know what? Would you rather be any place else? Now, would you rather be any place else? You never dreamed of it, but you ended up here. And now that you're here, would you rather be any place else than be in this environment? Of course not, because you're here. You chose to be here. Right? This, my friends, is Allah dictating your life. Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
This one Imam Ali Ghazan said that he freezes your mind, does what he wants, and then unfreezes it. So now you're wondering, wow, how did I end up here? What happened in my life? It's all for the better. So this is the first point. Second point, my friends. And I'm making these points, inshallah, we'll go into the meat of the issue tomorrow. Just some introductory points to the subject so that you understand this subject very well. Second point, my friends. Yes, Allah, there are things that we don't have any control over. For example, Where am I born? Who's my mother? Who's my father? Did I have a choice? No. You were born without any choice. You will die without any choice also. You will go through life, and there are many things that we don't have a choice in. Right? So these are things we understand. Okay, Allah decides these things. These are muqaddarat. But even in those places where you have to make a decision, where you have to decide and do things, even in those places, what Allah has decided comes and restricts that. It restricts that. You just can't do anything that you want. It doesn't happen that way. You can say, I want to do this. Yes, there are many things you want to do, but does it happen? It doesn't happen. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, doesn't matter. It doesn't happen. You see, you just can't do anything you want. This is another restriction. I can do whatever I want. I said yesterday that Shaitan wants you to think that you can do whatever you want. Shaitan wants you to think that you can achieve whatever you want or do whatever you like to do, but it doesn't happen that way. You can want and wish as much as you want, but it doesn't happen. Why? Because the muqaddar of Allah, the taqdeer of Allah, the things Allah decided comes in the way, and that which you decide or want to do has to be according to that. If it's not according to that, it's not going to happen. Whether it is a good thing or it's a bad thing. Understand this very well what I'm saying. There's a hadith that says that many people will be raised with Fir'aun. You know, Fir'aun, the antithesis of God, the ultimate villain. You know, Fir'aun, he will be raised, and many people will be raised with him. And obviously when they'll be raised with Fir'aun, on the day of judgment they will stand next to him. And they will wonder, hey, wait a minute, there's a mistake. How did I end up with this guy? I mean, that's Fir'aun there, you know that, right? Hey, I mean, I was bad, but not as bad as he was. Really? Hey, imagine if, inshallah, we will not be, but as an example, hypothetically speaking, let's say one of us, you know, is raised and we are standing next to Fir'aun. Like, wait a minute, there's a mistake here. I'm in the wrong place. Excuse me, angel, you brought me to the wrong place here. Take me to the right one. I can't be with this guy. That's Fir'aun there. Imagine that, right? But it said that there will be many people who will be raised with Fir'aun. Even though this person who's raised with him, he did not have a kingdom like Fir'aun did. The only kingdom that he had was his 4-bedroom house in Kovina. That was the extent of his kingdom. The only people he ruled were his wife and children. And most of the time it was the wife who was doing the ruling. That's it. And this guy, he says, I never had a kingdom. I never was a tyrant. I never was this. But he will be raised with Fir'aun. You know why? Because here's the issue, my friends. And this is very important for us to understand. The issue is this, that it's not the extent of wrong that you do. It's not the amount of wrong that you do that makes you Fir'aun. You see, in all the muqaddarat of Allah, in all the things that Allah decides, He gives you a window of opportunity to make a decision. He says, this is your chance, make a decision. This is your place, make a decision. Not everywhere you can decide, because there are things Allah is deciding for you. But some places He gives you the chance to make a decision. He says, make a decision here. Choose here. Choose there. This is your option. Choose. Now in that window of opportunity that He gives you, what are the choices that